good morning, and welcome to Zazen Kai, and thank you for being here to practice together today. As the Tanto said this morning, we are always practicing together. What constitutes the good life, the holy life, and how do we get there? Every day we chant with Hakuin, upholding the precept, repentance and giving, paramitas and virtue, the way of right living, all come from Zazen. All come from Zazen, not the other way around. It is from Zazen that our lives flow. It is from Zazen that we learn to live our lives as practice and to practice our lives. There are religions and sects of Buddhism that practice things like merit, virtue, in the hope of generating good karma and a favorable rebirth. But to be caught up in karma and cause and effect is still to be trapped in samsara, the endless round of birth and death. Zen Buddhism is not about abstractions, thoughts, or ideas. It is action, action of body and mind. Zazen is not quiescence. It is the activity of Buddhas and ancestors. Zazen is the foundation, the cornerstone of our practice. This is not to say that the precepts, the paramitas, and our vows are not important, but without the foundation in Zazen, they remain concepts and ideas that have no power to change our lives. In lay practice, we sometimes get confused. There arises a notion that since we are not monastics, there are some things that we don't have to give up or relinquish. After all, there are families, jobs, mortgages, car payments, and so on and on. When I was in India a few years ago now, in Varanasi, we saw sadhus, men who had left home and given up the world to sit in meditation all day, every day. So like that sadhu of India, do we have to leave home? Do we have to abandon our lives, our families, our jobs? Yes, we do. We must. Like today in Zazen Kai, like for Sesshin, like for a morning or evening sitting. When we sit Zazen, we must abandon everything. All our loves, all our hates, all our hopes and dreams. Dogen said, give up even the idea of becoming a Buddha. So once again, we have to look at the nature of this Zazen practice that we are devoting this day to. What is your intention by doing Zazen this day of sitting? What do you intend by doing Zazen? Is Zazen a route to somewhere beyond Zazen? Is there some place or state that you intend to get to that is beyond Zazen? Is there some goal that you realize in your Zazen at this moment? As soon as there is a goal, there is a because. As soon as there is a because, there is cause and effect. As soon as there is cause and effect, there is duality. A greater distance than that between heaven and earth, self and other. I do zazen because I want to become enlightened. It is my karma. Is there any thought of zazen that is not really about this self? The self that has no existence. In our daily lives, our efforts and our striving are exactly our true nature. But in our formal zazen sitting, to try to attain something is immediately to fall into dualism. In sitting practice today, you are completely free if you let go of everything and just sit. So we sit this whole day long. But if you ask why, it's a trick question. As soon as you think because, you're lost. It is this because that we have to learn to let go of. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, to sit for no reason whatsoever, to sit in just the experience of sitting, the direct experience of the here and now. It is so simple, so fundamental, it is almost impossible. In Fukan Zazengi, Dogen writes, "The Zazen I speak of is not a way of developing concentration or learning meditation. It is not a means to enlightenment. It is simply the easy and pleasant practice of a Buddha, the realization of the Buddha's wisdom. Zazen is itself is pure natural enlightenment. It is a manifestation of ultimate reality. The truth appears, there being no delusion. Not a means to enlightenment. Pure, natural enlightenment. All the whys and wherefores are constructs designed to boost the separate ego self, the I. And yet we work. We work hard to let go of it all." Here's part of a case number 8 from True Dharma I, the 300 koans of Master Dogen. Matsu did zazen all day long. Nanyue went to him and asked, "Great monastic, what do you intend by doing zazen?" Matsu said, "I am intending to be a Buddha." Nanyue picked up a brick and started polishing it. Matsu said, "What are you doing?" Nanyue said, "I'm trying to make a mirror." Matsu said, "How can you make a mirror by polishing a brick?" Nanyue said, "How can you become a Buddha by doing zazen?" Matsu said, "What do you mean by that?" Nanyue said, "Think about driving a cart. When it stops moving, do you whip the cart or the horse?" Matsu did zazen all day, every day, in the heat of the summer, in the snow and rain of winter, he sat in zazen. One day his teacher, Nanyue, asked, "What do you intend by doing zazen?" One might think that it was obvious. We do zazen to get enlightened, to attain the way, to manifest Buddhahood and all that good stuff. Dogen comments on this case. Keep in mind that what Matsu is saying is that his sitting in meditation is certainly done with the goal of becoming a Buddha. And that his sitting in meditation is certainly done with the wish to become a Buddha. Such a wish can precede becoming a Buddha, and it can arise after becoming a Buddha, and it can arise at the very moment of becoming a Buddha. Intention may arise before, during, or after the event. Thus it appears that there is no causal connection between the intention and the event and the action. This arising of intention is not in itself a bad thing. It's a sign of our humanity. But if the wish or the intention becomes attached to or entangled with the event, if we conflate the intention or wish with cause, with the why of our zazen, we are asking for trouble. Nanwei picked up a brick and started polishing it. Polishing a brick. What a useless activity. Does Nanwei have some coherent reason or intention for polishing a brick? Is intention necessary? Matsu wonders about it and he asks, "What are you doing?" Well, practice is not about doing anything. It's not about getting anything done. It is the moment to moment, losing oneself in the moment. But Nanwei answers, "I am trying to make a mirror." Does Nanwei's intent have anything to do with his action? Is there any chance that the brick will become a mirror? If polishing the brick is true practice, then the brick is already a mirror, and Matsu is already a Buddha. If the brick is not a mirror, then neither Matsu nor Nanwei are Buddha, nor will they ever be. We polish a brick. Any activity of our lives is an opportunity to polish a brick, whether it be sitting in zazen, walking, washing the dishes, or changing a tire. Nanwei is showing Matsu and us the unattachment of intention, wish, and the action. Matsu says, "How can you make a mirror by polishing a brick?" Matsu still does not understand the non-causal nature of practice. Nanwei said, "How can you become a Buddha by doing zazen?" How can the intention to do sitting zazen take you to Buddhahood? Your intentions, wishes, desires, and so on arise and pass away. If your zazen depends on intentions, wishes, and desires, then it will not last. If your practice is real practice, then you are already Buddha. If you are not already Buddha, there are no amount of practice will make you one. Matsu said, "What do you mean by that?" Nanwei replies, "Think about driving a cart. When it stops moving, do you whip the cart or the horse? Is there a horse and cart in our practice? What is the real motive power of our practice and what is the passenger? At first, the decision to take up a spiritual practice comes from the ego self. This is inevitable, because that's all we know of mind, the busy, chattering, monkey mind, that one day decides that things are so miserable, something has to be done. But we all know how volatile and unreliable such mental resolutions are. After some sitting zazen, things might seem to be a little better, and the conscious mind quickly loses interest, falls away from practice, falls into misery again, tries some other practice or method, and the cycle just repeats itself. This is the trap of the endless spiritual journey. At some point, you have to stop seeking and find. Reliance on conscious intent is a very weak reed indeed. Bodhicitta, real aspiration comes from somewhere else. The impetus to practice is the practice itself. It is zazen itself. And that practice encompasses all of our body, mind, and spirit. Which is the cart? Which is the horse? In our zazen, we polish our brick. We do not polish it to make a mirror. It is already a mirror. You do not enter zazen to become a Buddha. You are already inherently a Buddha. When sitting, there is only sitting. When walking, there is only walking. Zazen excludes nothing. It clings to nothing. The sound of the traffic is zazen. The light and shadow on the wall is zazen. The thoughts that arise and pass away are zazen itself. You do not do zazen. No person does zazen. Zazen does zazen. Only Buddhas enter zazen. To the extent that body and mind drop away, there is zazen. To the extent that there is zazen, body and mind have dropped away. Why do we sit? Together with all beings, we realize the way.